This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 353. We're up to the final film of the Hobbit franchise. I guess you want to call it franchise, trilogy, whatever. But we're up to the Battle of the Five Armies from 2014. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Review.
All right, Nate, because I know you're the only one here between us two that saw it in the theater. So what was your initial reaction seeing this in the theater?
Okay, well, I did see this at the theater in, I don't know, whatever IMAX, 3D, whatever it came out, I saw it in the ultimate version. Man, I tell you what, I saw all these movies when they came out, and now rewatching them for this, I barely remember anything that happened in these movies. So this is another one. I saw it in 2014. This was almost like watching it for the first time. I barely remembered any of this stuff. So I remember liking it when I saw it at the theater. I know that. I didn't really remember what happened.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, I didn't get to see it. This is the first time me watching. Actually, this is the first time me watching the entire series. I never seen them. It's funny. I brought the 4K big ass box set and I was like, all right. And little do we know, we did it for the Action Movie Guys Podcast. We watched all of them because I don't think I was ever going to put them
on. You got your money's worth of that box set, finally. Because now you watched all six of them.
Yeah, and I gotta say though, we're to the third film. The New Line Cinema, I'm gonna guess Warner Brothers, they did a fantastic job on the transfer. They all look crispy.
Yes. Yeah. These look especially incredible in 4K, honestly.
Yeah, I think these look way crisper than the first three.
I think so too. I'm just guessing it's newer cameras and because they filmed them with the high def 3D and all that, but they do look amazing.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. They look way better. All right, so with that said, let's get to the financials here because, wow, I don't know. I mean, there's something about this. It's crazy. So The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, final film, 2014, domestic, $255 million. So you're going, okay, you know, international, $707 million for a worldwide total of $962 million. Nate, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, it didn't do well. Well, it did do
almost
good.
A billion. It did great.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm shocked.
Bro, I don't remember these. I don't remember these making this much money. I remember people being like, oh, this is okay. Or like disappointed. It's the overseas. I think me and Scott talked about it last week. It's that overseas market that really buoyed these. I mean, 250, whatever in America. It's solid. It's very solid. But when you make almost a billion and three quarters of it comes from overseas, you know, it was just a bigger hit overseas. These are international books, though. And Tolkien is not American. So, I mean, I guess we shouldn't be that surprised, but it's impressive that if you look the Middle Earth, you know, like you said, you bought a box set. It had all six movies.
Yeah.
So it's considered like the Middle Earth saga or whatever. I mean, you're talking about what, like almost almost $6 billion between all six of them. That's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy. And I'm just looking at the budget while you were saying it. This movie it just said 250 to 300 million to make.
I believe it is a lot of CGI.
Oh, it's tons of CGI. I mean, throughout all these, and you guys did, you and Scott, I was out of the country last episode.
Mission.
Yeah, the mission. You guys said the same thing. You guys said it was the same average 250 to close to 300. Yeah. So that's crazy because like we did Lord of the Rings and each of those was like 95, I think it was $95 million. Yeah. And this is quadruple the amount than all of them on each of the films. And I mean,
and yet they were still profitable. Just imagine you come into a studio and you're like, wow, the last time we gave you $90 million per movie, you made about $1 billion per movie. Like, we're going to give you a bigger budget. It's a new time. There's new visual effects. Fine. We'll give you $275 million per movie. And they still make almost $1 billion each time. I mean, they can't even complain about it, really. Return on the investment is very good with the Middle Earth stuff.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And then of course, you know, the figures and statues and movies and everything. So
Blu-rays and 4Ks and
so they made all the money back and even tons of it. My thing is, it's pretty interesting as a filmmaker's point of view. Like, I'm not a filmmaker, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of that, if we put those glasses on, it's very intriguing and interesting because the first 4, 5, and 6, right? The Lord of the Rings Fellowship, you know, Two Towers, Return of the King, those were on a budget of $95 million, practical effects, you know, on location in almost all of them with a little bit of seasoning of CGI here and there.
Yeah.
Looked amazing. The crowd ate it up. They loved it, right? Then you go to 1, 2, and 3, the prequels, right? Which they shot in location. You could see they back in New Zealand. A lot of practical with the dwarves. But then when it comes to the villains, it's like CGI heavy.
And a lot of green screen.
And a lot of green screen.
Where Smaug is inside the gold, the temple, and all green. It looks literally like they're just walking in front of a green screen.
You're absolutely right. So it's kind of interesting in a filmmaker's like lens how Peter Jackson utilized both, you know, practical and non-practical. And I got to say, you know, Nate, we could say we didn't like it or whatever, but I got to say, Peter Jackson has a vision for these type of movies, because I mean, in the action, I mean, on all six of them, he did great
job. Effect, don't get us wrong. The effects are great. It's great CGI. I know because I listened, you know, back to our last episode, and we were definitely talking about the CGI. It's CGI heavy.
Yeah.
And while that can take you out, especially of a franchise that was practical, obviously there was CGI in Lord of the Rings. We're not stupid. That they didn't really have a giant octopus. They didn't really have flying giant birds. They didn't, you know, the goblet, you know, stuff like that was CGI, but it was mixed in. Whereas here, most of it is CGI. But don't get us wrong, the CGI looks great. Like, it is top tier CGI. It's just that there's a whole lot of it.
I agree. It was interesting listening to you guys, because then when I started to rewatch the third one and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I could see where you're getting, you know, you can't have both, because if you do practical, you're gonna have a lot of extras. I mean, you can saw it in the other one. Like, I think they just didn't want to go with a hassle of so much makeup, you know, throughout. So I don't know. I liked it, though. I thought it worked very well. Peter Jackson is a very great director. I hope he gets to do, like we talked about it, another like property that maybe people don't know. Some book that
he's apparently sci-fi working book on something. Another Middle Earth.
Oh, Jesus.
For Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Jesus. This guy is like what? Like James Cameron? Like he's stuck in the Avatar shit?
I think he lives in Middle Earth.
You think he lives in the Hobbit house?
I think that's his mansion?
You think they like, we're going to go to Peter Jackson's house and it's like,
for Bilbo's house in these movies is Peter Jackson's actual house.
Yeah, that shit would be mad funny.
He just moved in.
He moved like Guillermo.
I think is Middle Earth movies.
Yeah. You think Guillermo del Toro like keeps a lot of his props, like all of them?
Yeah.
I think Peter Jackson lives in them. I think he's just like, we're going to build my house.
I saw that online somewhere. Like he's working on a new property based in Middle Earth for Warner Brothers, though. So
that's good.
A lot of fans are excited because the Warner, you know, not talking about the Amazon Prime Rings of Power crap.
I didn't see that.
A lot of people are excited because it's Warner Brothers, not Amazon, and it's Peter Jackson. He seems to know. The proof is in the pudding. When you look at these box office returns, look at the success.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know something.
Yeah. I mean, look, good for him. All right. Let's get to the critics and audience. Let's see what they thought about the final film.
We got to pump the brakes a little bit. I just said that apparently he knows everything, but these scores are not the best. Okay. These are actually the lowest of all three movies. This has we'll start with the audience score because that one's higher. 74%, which is not bad, but it is a minus 11. The last movie had an 85. Mm. So this one took a little tumble. Critically, it took a little bit of a bigger tumble because this has a 59%. So it is actually not fresh rated on Rotten Tomatoes. A 59%, which is a minus 16% from the last movie. So critically, these kind of went like in a wave as far as with critics. Like the first movie was pretty good. Then the second one went up and now this one took a dip. With audiences, they actually went up and then this one took a dip. So
critically, I could say from the critics' point of view, we did 352 episodes of action movies. And this is a heavy action movie. So I could see them why. And the last movie, which is the Desolation of Smaug, that one was straight up story driven. More than action. So I think you're right with that. I think once it went action, the critics were like, yeah, this is not our...
This is too much killing. I can't deal with this.
Yeah, okay, I mean, audiences are shocking. 74 is not bad, to be honest with you. Still fresh.
No, the audience score is fine, yeah. And 59, I mean, no, 59 is not great. I mean, especially all the Lord of the Rings movies are like 93, and then these Hobbit ones are lower critically, but I mean, it is what it is.
Right, but I mean, if you look at the trend, though, at least the audience is not going up. Yeah, it's not going crazy down. Yeah. So that means still the fans liked it. Yeah, fans liked it. So, all right, let's get right into it because I want to talk about this one. All right, let's get to lead characters. They're all back for the final film. All right, Nate, what you got?
Okay. All right. So I've been critical of these movies and I'm okay with it because I just rewatching them, I'm like, dang, these are, honestly, and these movies are more boring than I remember them being. I thought they were more exciting than this. There's a lot of really boring parts. As far as our leads, I have given the 3 in both of the first 2 movies. I'm going to up my score 1 point here because there was some character things I liked in this. I'm going to give them a 4 this time. And I say them because this is still an ensemble movie. Bilbo, obviously he is supposed to be the guy we look through. But again, there's a lot of Thorin Oakenshield. And I kind of hated him in this movie, but I kind of think that worked. As far as the story goes,
yeah,
you know, with the what they call dragon madness or whatever, and he's looking for the stone, and I kind of like the whole thing of like Bilbo having it the whole time, and then like he wants to give it to him, but he knows if he does, it's gonna be worse, so he's holding it from him, and then he trades it to the other guys after he gave him his little suit, and he's like, we're friends. You know, and here's your suit. And then you could tell he feels like a jerk because he knows he has the stone the whole time. So I kind of liked all that stuff. So Thorin was annoying. He was like starting to piss me off, especially at that part where they're like, you know, you have peace or you have war. He's like, we'll have war. I'm like, oh my God, this guy just wants to fight everybody, but he won't go outside. He's staying in his little thing. But I did like Bilbo in this. I like that whole thing of him trying to be friends with him while also not being an enabler of his craziness and being like, I'll just give you the stone and go. He could have just gave it to him and left and been like, none of this matters to me. I live in the Shire. I'm good. So I kind of like that about him. Gandalf, I'll let you talk about him because I know you love him. It was good. I thought the characters were better this time. Also, there were some deaths, which were a little surprising, but I liked it. So yeah, I give him a 4 this time.
Yeah. So, all right. So, okay. This is the first time you're watching it on Battle of the Five Armies. Now, I do agree with you on a lot of points. All right. Let's go to my man Thorin Oakenshield, right? Cool name, character. I do understand the whole him going mad because of gold and all that. And I was like, oh, right, I can see now why Uncle Scrooge goes crazy for his lucky 10 dime or whatever it was, the dime. So I think Oakenshield's character, I think it was cool. I liked it. I liked his journey from the beginning. I thought it was a very interesting how he was like a nobody, a loser. Now he promised the town, if you help me get my seat back, I'll give you all the riches. Then he gets to become the riches and he goes, I ain't giving you shit because you didn't help me when we needed your help. So I kind of liked that. I said, whoa. I said, this dude had a journey. And I kind of liked it. I was like, that's cool. So I liked him. Bilbo. My problem with this franchise is Bilbo. Mm-hmm. I liked Bilbo in this. I liked him way better than Frodo, bro. I'm telling you right now, way better than Frodo. I can watch him. I agree with you and Scott when you guys talked about it. This is not a Bilbo Baggins journey. This is more of a Oakenshield storyline. Because it's about the dwarves, the rise of the dwarves. That's me. That's what I'm thinking. Because that's what I got, you know? So, yeah. But I liked Bilbo. He became a hero. I liked him. Whereas Frodo just was annoying as fuck throughout all the Lord of the Rings. I was like, oh God, I hate you. But I like Bilbo. I like he stood ground. He, you know, he fought when he needed to. He had his sword. He used you know what? We gave Frodo shit for putting on that ring all the time. I gotta say though, Bilbo put it on the times that he needed to put it on. And right. It wasn't like times that he was like, oh, he's feeling it. And he goes, oh, I just want to put it on. And it was like, all right, cool. But you know what? The only difference is that he didn't have like the riffraffs and Sauron on his ass the whole time. Yeah. Whereas Frodo's fucked. Every time you put it on, they knew where it was coming from. So
Bilbo
that was the only
used
difference.
It as a tool to like escape certain yeah. places or mm-hmm. to get certain. Whereas, yeah, Frodo just kept putting it on because he was like, I gotta put on my ring.
Yeah, that shit was annoying. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, Bilbo, Theron, great. Gandalf the Useless. He is the worst wizard. This is the final movie. And I'm going to say this shit. And I don't care. Anyone could defend it. I don't care. He is the worst wizard put on screen. in cinema history, dude. He is garbage. He got his ass beat in the second movie. They threw his ass in the Iron Maiden cage. He couldn't get out. The elven chick comes and saves his ass. Then the dude with the rabbit sled comes. What's it called?
Rack attack hair guy. It looks like he has like jizz caked into his hair. I hate that guy.
What's it called? Rat attack?
Looks like a glazed donut.
Yeah. A glazed donut. Yeah, Ratatats did more than what Gandalf did with his powers.
Radagast, I think.
Radagast. Yeah. That dude was, I kind of liked that. I thought he was pretty cool. Yeah. They used him when they needed him. Gandalf was whack. And he was garbage. My man Saruman did way more in this movie than Gandalf did. He was giving dudes the Tate Quieto stick to everybody, bro. He was giving them the ass beating. And I liked it. My only gripe, Nate, in this film, and this is why I gave it a 4, was that we never got to see a scene with Saruman turning bad. Because I thought we were going to get that. Remember when he said, okay, stay back. I'm going after him.
That. I'll go after Saruman.
Yes, I thought they were going to give us a scene where this dude promised him something. And he's just like, oh, okay, I'll help you guys. You know what I mean? Unless it's in the extended cut. I don't know. But I don't know. That's what I got. And, oh, Legolas. Oh, my God. My boy Legolas. Let me tell you something. Legolas is the man in the Hobbit series. I don't know. And I don't care what people could tell me about the Lord of the Rings. Because he didn't do shit though in those damn movies. This movie, he shined. I like it. The hot chick, elf chick.
Yeah, Evangeline Lilly. That's the actress. That's
was it Tarragon? No, she started with a T.
I'll tell you. Tauriel.
One, she was gorgeous as the elf. Yes. Two, she was badass. And three, I love the way how they wrote her off. My man Legolas said, I can't come back to this shit. I'm done. Like, he's like, she's in love with a dwarf. He's in love with her. And he told her father, I can't be here no more, dad. Like, I'm out. It kind of explains now, right? Because me and you were like, why did the elven never, like, Legolas and people never showed up to battle? Because he left. He was like, I'm out because of her. So I said, okay. But yo, Legolas' entire, and this whole thing was amazing. So with that said, I'm going to give it a 4. It could have been a 5 if Gandalf did something. And other than that, I mean, I don't, you know, it's not a perfect script, but I thought they had great jobs with the, well, everybody. So I give it a 4. And the guy looked like Therion Oakenshield, looked like Mel Gibson in certain scenes.
Yeah, or Gerard Butler at other times.
Yeah, they're like a mix of both.
Gerard Gibson.
Gerard Gibson.
As or Theon. Mel Butler.
Mel Butler. Oh, shit. All right.
Thorin Oakenshield, played by Mel Butler.
All right, 4 across the board there. Okay, main villain.
Okay, so you made a fair point in last episode when you were doing your via satellite. You made a fair point. I do think that this, you know, the Lord of the Rings, we never gave the villains a really high score because like the main bad guy is just a flaming eyeball. And, you know, like, there's not that, like,
yeah.
And this does going to come down to preference as well. I like villains who are like, have some charisma, who like they're bad, but you like watching them. You're like, oh, what is this guy going to do? Be evil, be scheming, but also then do the fighting and all that. And Lord of the Rings didn't have that kind of villain, like big bad guy. And these, I do think, have a better one because you do have that orc guy, even though I don't like the way he looks, the big bald one, mostly because he's CGI, but I like him in theory, like with the one arm, with the spike going through it. But at least he's like down to fight all the time. Like he wants to kill them. And I love Smaug. Now, here's my problem. Scott made a point of, well, if he did at the end of that second movie, what he did at the beginning of this movie, he would have gave him a 5 in that movie. And to his point, I agree. But here he does that. That opening scene is great when he's just like torching that town but then he dies. He gets shot by that guy who no one cares about. The stupid bard guy, whatever his name. I mean, Luke Evans, the actor. I like that actor. Don't get me wrong, but like just the character. Who is he? Why? It's like they wanted another like Aragorn type character, you know, like we need a guy with long hair, who's human, who people can... Why? I don't need him. And he shoots him with his... I do like the scene. I like the scene when he has his son. He's like...
Oh, yeah.
Left a little bit. And he's pulling the thing. And dope scene. Love the setup. Like, that whole opening is great. But then Smaug is dead for the... So that's it. So he's a done for. So I'm not even going to really score him a lot because he did obliterate that town and then he died. Now we're back to the big bald baby orc guy. Azog the Defiler or whatever his name is. Cool villain. You know, definitely he wants... He really, really, really hates these dwarves. He really wants to kill them. He's like sending his whole army. They got the freaking giant worms from Beetlejuice coming out the ground.
The sandworms.
Yeah, they got the sandworms. They got like all this, you know, awesome battle stuff. But still, I gave him a 4. I really wanted to give a 5, but I just, it's like, there's something about him. Like, I think the nature of the movie, the way it's so stretched out, where they're just away for so long. Like, look at before the fight. Like, look at before the fight. He will come in for like 1 minute scenes where he's like, let's go get the battle people ready. And then go away for a long time. Then he'll come back and be like, let's get the worm. They forgot about the worms. And then he goes away. Now, when he actually fights, awesome. Love the last fight. Love it on the ice thing. I love that whole thing. And hey, you know, at the end of the day, he ends up, Thorin dies. So he kind of, in a way, I almost want to give him a 4. I'm going to give him a 4.5. I'm still not going to give it a 5. But I forgot about that. He does end up killing the guy he wants to kill. So I'll give him a 0.5. 4.5. I think this is the closest to a 5 we'll get.
Yeah. All right. So for me, as the entire package, because I'm like, this is the final movie. What did this dude with the one arm do in three movies? And I was like, he set up this battle. And he was a general. And I looked at it in that eyes. I totally agree with everything you said. But I was like, you know what? I got to look at it from his point of view. This dude was on top of the mountains directing which way they're going to go and attack. He was like, they ain't going to see them from the corner. And my man, the orc that ran into the wall, he said, boom. And he just said, he went, love that scene. I said, wait a minute. I was like, this dude, they just massacring people now. Nate, I'm gonna give it a 5. This is why. I totally agree 100% with everything you said. But when I'm looking at Lord of the Rings from Two Towers and The Return of the King, this one, I think, set up the battles way better. And I know it's CGI heavy, and I know that. But when you're looking at it, I was very invested in the battles because I was like, you have the elven going up against this dude, right? And then you got this guy commanding and which way they're going to come from. You know, I was just like, yo, this is really cool. And you're right. He fights Therion, the Oakenshield. He kills him. And I was just like, holy crap. I was like, this is actually really dope. Kills him straight up. We have not seen a Lord of the Rings movie get killed. Like a main character get killed at all. Yeah. Legolas got his ass beat by the other one in the second movie. And I said, oh shit, finally he could bleed. Like we finally see Legolas. And then he got mad. He did the Bruce Lee. He was like, oh, and he started chasing him. And I said, okay, cool. But in terms of this franchise, this is what I call a way, like we had Sauron, which he had the first movie and then he got his fingers cut off and then became the ball of an eye, right? But this one, you could literally see he was a villain for 3 films. I mean, in the first movie, he made them all climb up a tree. Remember that shit? And he had all those weird ass dogs, right? Yeah. The second movie, he sent a thousands of orcs and these dudes are shooting at them in barrels going into the wall. Like I was like, yo, these orcs were way better than the Morikai or whatever the hell they were. So honestly, in the package, I'm going to give it a 5. I really enjoyed these villains in this movie more than I enjoyed in the regular. And I know Scott was giving me shit because he was like, really? And I was like, dude, I was like, if you look at it in terms of pros and cons, this one had way better villains. I mean, way better. Not story.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, story-wise, I'm not taking away the story from Lord of the Rings. But if we're looking at it in our goggles of action movie guys podcast stuff, this had way better villains than the original trilogy. So with that said, I'm going to give it a 5. All right, action scenes, Nate.
Okay, here we go. Here we finally got it. You're finally going to get a 5 from me. I did give this one a 5. And that's because it took a while to get to. Let's be honest. The Battle of the Five Armies is called. And you're like, I want to see this battle. This is what I've been waiting for. A big, epic, large scale battle, right? And then the movie opens with that great scene, like I said, with Smaug, you know, decimating the town. Looks incredible. They're trying to escape. You got the guy up there with the bow and arrow trying to kill them. Loved it. I said, great opening. And then we get a real long time of nothing, no action. Talking, you know, some of the character stuff's pretty good there. So a lot of not action. Then the action kind of kicks off with when they go save Gandalf. That, to me, see, that scene, to me, that's just a Lord of the Rings scene. There's no characters from The Hobbit in it. Mm-mm. It's Cate Blanchett. It's Christopher Lee. It's Hugo Weaving. It's like all these Lord of the Rings people. They go save him. That scene is weird, to be honest with you. Like, it was hurting my eyes. Like, it's flashing all this. Like, I'm like, I'm going to have a seizure. It's like, this is, what? I didn't like the choice of, like, making the eyeball and it's changing colors. And it was weird. But anyway, cool. Ended up being a pretty cool scene. I do like the way those ghosts look in that.
Those are the witch raves.
They look cooler in this movie than they do in the old one. Mm-hmm. Now, that just could be better technology, obviously. You know, this is later, but they look sick. So I like that part. That was cool. And then finally, once these guys start showing up for battle, I love the way the elves look. I love that gold armor. Dope. Absolutely love it. They come marching in. Then over the hill, you get the little dwarves. One of them's riding a pig. I said, okay, here they come. And I love that part when then the orcs are coming and they make the little shield wall. Boom, boom. And they put the spears. And then these dudes come jumping over top. I said, oh, here we go. This is what I like. Sick. Loved it. I thought it was great. I thought the battle scenes were great. They got giant hammers, swords. We get giant goblin monsters. This is like what I've been waiting for. Then literally the whole like last 45 minutes to an hour is like the battle. And like there's stuff happening within it as far as people moving around, but it's mostly battle scenes. I love the part in the ice, that whole section where they're over on the ice lake, Thorin, the bad guy, and the other bad guy who has like the metal head or whatever.
Yeah.
the one who fights the handsome dwarf and Evangeline Lilly's character. That was great. Then Legolas stabs him in the top of the head. I said, oh, he's like smiling and then he's like, oh shoot. Why are you smiling? And he flips over, boom, stab him in the head. The only part in that whole thing that I don't like is when Legolas is running up the rocks. Like physics, it's just, they don't work that
way. That's what I told. It looks like a video game. Yeah, that's what I was. I said, why is Legolas the only one that could break gravity?
He can defy gravity. Yeah. Like, if you step on that one rock, you just plummet it. There's no, you know, gingerly jumping up there. I get he probably thought in his head, Peter Jackson, like, this will look cool. But then once you think about it, you're like, this is stupid. Other than that, great. I gave it a 5.
he said he thought he was in the editing room going like, damn, this shit is dumb.
He said, I just played this game called Uncharted. I'm going to do this thing. Go do this thing where you can run up rocks.
And it doesn't.
Other than that one little moment, I love the action in this movie. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, you said everything. I agree with you. I gave it a 5. I mean, the opening sequence with that damn dragon, I was like, holy hell. I felt so bad for that with that towel.
It should have all just jumped in the water.
Yeah, I don't get it, but they did it, which was I like the stupid king that put all the gold in the boat. I thought that was funny. It reminded me of Dungeons and Dragons with Hugh Grant or whatever his name is with the gold. I thought that was funny. Yeah, that opening sequence, dude, I didn't even know that was an opening sequence. I mean, I knew it was going to continue from there, but I didn't know the name of the score was going to come out after he died. Yeah, I like that. I thought that was pretty cool. My favorite scene is when they went to save Gandalf, because you got to see more of the Elven King from Riverdale fight, Hugo Weaving's character. And I liked it. I said, yo, this scene is actually, and then Saruman is doing his shit. I was like, yo, this is what a wizard's supposed to do in like 5 movies, but we didn't get none of this. Loved it. I thought that was pretty cool. I do agree with you. This shit had that Willy Wonka effect with the Sauron eye going in and out. And I was just like, what is this shit? I agree with you on that. Cate Blanchett turning evil or whatever she did with the light. And that she light all thing. Blue. Yeah, yeah. That light thing is the source that she gave to Sam, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That, yeah, right? The little necklace or whatever. It's like
the North Star, light of the North Star, some shit. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that's pretty cool callback. But my favorite scene is Legolas fighting inside the tower that he knocked over and they were falling. I thought that was a really, Peter Jackson does great action scenes. I don't know why. I enjoy a sniper
with a bow and arrow.
That was dope, saving him on the ice. I was like, this is really good. And I was like, I like that. Then what's her name? The Elven chick. I liked her stuff. She was a great fighter until the guy whooped that ass and then killed her dwarven lover. And I was just like, what is going on? Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It's, true. I mean, accurate. I was just like, holy crap. I was like, that scene was dope. The battle. Let me tell you, man, I never seen this movie before. And when I saw my man roll up in a pig, I said, this movie has became my number one movie.
Riding on a pig.
He was riding on a pig. And you know, it's crazy. Like I said in the last review, I don't know if you ever played World of Warcraft.
No.
I know you've seen the movie.
Yes.
But it's similar to that. Imagine taking that movie and you making it cartoony like this, like real dwarven, you know, like a cartoony. The other one was like very serious, try to be serious live action. To me, I liked the movie because I played the game.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it could have been better if they harness what the game was about, like making it very fun.
A little more fun.
Yeah, like Dungeons and Dragons, but World of Warcraft, like that, comedic action fantasy. But this one did it. I enjoyed it from those elements. Like I said, I play Dungeons and Dragons a lot. So this stuff makes me like happy because I'm like, this thing is awesome. Yo, when the guy freaking, when he shot the arrow and Legolas's dad gave him the hand signal and they all did that shit synchronized with the bow. I said, holy hell. I was like, this drone is dope. Like, I mean, that battle scene was dope. I don't know what to say, man. I thought that was really cool. The cameras were on every cool spot moments. So, yeah, five of there. All right, storyline.
Listen to this, by the way. While you were going, I looked it up just because I just call him, I always call him the handsome dwarf, the one that she likes because he's the only one that doesn't look totally weird. His character's name is Killy. Now, I looked up the names because these names are horrible and I don't know any of them. These are the names of the dwarves just so we can have some credibility here. You have Thorin. We know his name. Then you have Balin, Dwalin, Biffer, Bofer, Bomber, Philly, Keely, Nori, Dory, Glowin, and Ori. What the hell?
Honestly, I would not even remember that. I wouldn't.
How can you remember? What are we? Story? Okay. I'll be honest. I didn't love it. I don't love the storyline in this movie. I love the action. I like some of the character stuff. But what's the plot? The plot of this third movie is Thorin Oakenshield kind of losing his mind, wants this diamond stone thing, and is willing to fight everybody to, you know, to get it, basically. That's it. And again, I don't like the asides. It has too many asides where we go on these little side quests of the Gandalf thing, you know, first of all, it hurt my eyes, but while there's a little bit of cool action in it, it's like, it takes away. These Hobbit movies always take away from anytime they build momentum, they take away from it by going to some other thing. And I'm like, oh, here we go. We're going to go over here again to these people. And they really, really, and this is the shortest one, by the way, this one is the shortest of the three. And it still feels stretched out to like as long as possible. I do think the story is the weakest part of this movie. I don't think it's bad per se, because I'm not giving it like a one or a two, but I'm sticking with a three. I get bored in the middle. And it's like, it's okay. For example, I like the thing with Thorin losing his mind, but it goes on for a really long time. And it could have been kind of tightened up a little bit. So I don't know. For me, the storyline always ends up hurting these movies a bit as far as rewatchable. So I gave this one a three.
Well, interesting. I give it a four. I was into the movie. I do agree that certain things I hated. Like I hated the dwarf loving interest shit. I hated that.
The dwarf loving.
Yeah, I hated the dwarf loving scenes. I thought that was so dumb. I didn't get it. I was just like, what's the purpose of it? Just to tell me that, you know, because of Legolas and Gimli's relationship, elves and dwarves could be friends. That's so dumb.
Especially because he dies. It ends up going nowhere.
Exactly. Like, That's dumb. So yeah, I kind of like the Bilbo story, how it ends. He goes back home. They selling his shit. I thought that was funny. Yeah. He was like, they were like, how do we know you're Bilbo? I was like, what? Like, oh God. So like, I don't know. There is stuff that I could nitpick and stuff, but at the end of everything, it's just a journey. Would I see it again? Yeah, I would try to see the extended cut just to see what the first was, the second and third one. I will see the extended.
And this one's rated R, apparently, the director's cut.
Yeah, so I'll watch it again. Not now, but I'll give it like in a few months or something, give it a rewatch. But honestly, I felt the story was solid. So I'm going to give it a four, though, because I really enjoyed it. And I wasn't bored as how you were. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm used to fantasy stuff. So for me, it was right up my alley. So I give it a 4. Okay, overall.
Overall, I give the movie a 4. I think this one is probably my favorite of the three. While the story, again, for me, drags a little, so did the other two. So it's not really much different there. And then this one has better action, better. I at least Bilbo feels a little more important because he actually factors in with having the stone, the Arkenstone, and not wanting to give it to him and all that kind of stuff. You know, using the ring for that one part where he's like, you know, they won't see me. I'm telling you, they won't even see me. I like the ending of this movie as well. And he finally goes home. And I like how the end of this is literally the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring.
That was dope.
Shows up at his house and you could hear him in the background. Hey, again, that's the same dialogue and everything. So that was cool. But yeah, overall, I give this one a 4. I think this is a good movie. Could have been trimmed 20 minutes. I think like a 2-hour version of this is super dope. But alas, we have like a 2.5-hour version. So, but yeah, I thought it was very good. I give it a 4.
Yeah, for me, overall, I give it a 4 too. I like the movie. I you know, it's shocking out of rewatching these. And every time I hear people talk about it, I'm like scared to watch them. And now watching them, I'm like, they're actually not bad of a storyline. I mean, there's worse movies out there that I can say is bad. But I enjoyed this one. I like part 2 way better. Desolation of Smog. I don't know why. I think I just like the blend of action and story on that one. So, and Legolas, I think, whips more ass in that one. So I kind of like that. And he's pissed off, Legolas. And I was like, I like pissed off Legolas. Yeah. So for me, I like the second one more. But this one's very enjoyable. I like how it wraps up. Like you said, it ends like they literally took the beginning of Lord of the Rings and they didn't even reshoot it. They just took that shit and copied it and threw it right in. It was like, for those of you out there that want to watch them from beginning to end, you can't. So I liked it. I gave it a 4. All right, total points.
Total points, I have a 20.5. So this is definitely the highest one of the three for me. 20.5.
Well, this one I gave it a 22. This is 1 point higher than the second one for me. And that was because of the action. And I think the villain is the reason why the scores are that high. But yeah, it's a 22. Other than that, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, so that wraps up. We're done. We're done with Middle Earth. We ain't coming back again. That's it. We're leaving this town. All right. Next up, we are wrapping up our Mel Gibson month with a little 1997 movie from Richard Donner, an action movie guy. We've done a number of his movies called Conspiracy Theory. And then we're beginning a new franchise, Alex. Now, we're going back to a franchise that we've done before, but we're coming to a new section of it. We're going to be doing the controversial, depending on your age, Star Wars prequel trilogy. So we're doing some episode 1, The Phantom Menace, episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. You got to say it like that. And by the way, I'm excited for this because I'm going to be seeing episode 1 at the theater. It's re-releasing this weekend. So I will be going to see it at the theater and writing down my scores in the back like a creep on my notepad while I'm watching it. So yeah, we're going to be doing some more Star Wars. So here we go. We're going from one devoted fan base right back to another. I don't know why I put these all together like this. This is a dangerous proposition.
It's very dangerous. But yeah, I haven't seen those. Yeah, I haven't seen those in years. So it's going
to
be interesting.
You already know me. We've talked about, I don't rewatch the Star Wars movies that much. So like, now, to be fair, because of my age, these are actually the Star Wars movies that came out when I was like 12, 13, 14. Like, if anything, these are the ones I grew up with more than the original. Even though I did see the original ones first when I was a kid, these came out when I could go to the theater and see new Star Wars movies. So I saw all three of these at the theater. I saw episode 1 when I was 12 in the movie theater. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to see that one in the theater and revisit the whole thing.
I can't wait. It's going to be pretty fun. It's going to be fun doing those. All right. With that said, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. He goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on his Instagram account, Nateflix Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.